ones on the PS2.
Okay, very good.
The one that they brought out
modern
here.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah, well, I think that the COS work with just a little patch or something. If they
do.
Just, okay, very good. Yeah, I remember then. Okay, well, that's cool. Yeah, so if you have any cause that you made, or you want to talk about Fire Pro, or you want to talk about any video games, just go to our bulletin board section, and we'll get you all involved with the chat. See ya!
Bye.
Hey, thanks for everything today, Alex. You have anything else?
No, that's right. What I've been playing.
All right, man. Talk to you next month.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Eric Alexander, he's on the boards. This show is stacked! And we got another stack yet to come here. Clacks Wave. Let's open the lines, Keith. John Sell, let's get him on the line, man. Brooklyn, New York, go! John Sellers on the line. John.
How you doing?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you just well.
You're coming through loud and clear as well. I don't know what you're calling on. Probably the Galaga phone, I would assume.
It's actually the Puyan phone.
The Puyan. Wow.
Yeah, I go a little bit more obscure.
That is obscure. That is obscure. Well, as long as it's not the Tubin phone, I guess that's okay. And which is not obscure, but is still equally stinky.
It really isn't the best.
What is your favorite adult arcade game?
Adult, meaning what? Define
like,
adult.
Like the adult theme, like they had pinball games that were sort of adultish. They had,
Money, the most adult game I've ever played is, I mean, the actual game itself wasn't, but Dragon's Lair, when you got to the princess, that was pretty hot.
That was some good artwork there. Don Bluth had going on. Now
you really did.
You are the author of I got set off by that Puyan, which is not an adult game, but it reminded me of something. I don't know what. but you are the author of one of my favorite arcade video game books, Arcade Fever.
Thank you.
My other favorite is High Scores by DeMaria Wilson. I don't know if you ever saw that.
I've seen them all. That was a really good one, yeah.
It was a good one, you know, but it doesn't have this nice appeal. Arcade Fever is all... I mean, this is a complete work. This is from front to back. It looks like the book that it's about. You know, the graphics... The great screenshots, the layouts, everything from the writing style, everything from cover to cover, I think is screams Arcade Fever.
Thanks.
You're welcome, man. And of course, your feature.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's I call it like I see it. For a game lover, this is great, especially Gunfight. Now, was Gunfight the first 8-directional joystick, or do you know offhand which was the first 8-directional joystick?
Now. If you were to ask me that 7 years ago, I would have known for sure.
Because now you've moved on.
Well, I mean, I'm still obviously a major classic gamer, but there are certain facts that you just sort of remember at the time. And then what I remember most about Gunfight is that it really isn't that great of a game.
Oh. Okay.
I'm sorry. I mean, if it's me versus you playing, yeah. I'm sure it would be great. I mean, but, you could probably kick my ass, but,
But
you know.
The cactuses. You shoot through the cactuses. You got to love that.
I know. And you get to yell cacti at the top of your lungs.
And you're also featured in that great movie, Chasing Ghosts. Now, will this movie ever be released? That is the question.
Well, I saw it in a theater at a screening.
Oh.
And I was hoping that King of Kong would have allowed that movie to be released. But, you know, it's funny the way I got it. I mean, they asked me to do that movie, and I had no idea that, you know, the way they were going to use me. It was just, I thought it was hilarious. They used me as like this like goofy dude, which pretty much sums me up.
Oh, well, I didn't think you came off that way at all. But now, of course, in the movie, you do play Billy Mitchell. That's probably why you thought that. No, you don't play Billy Mitchell. Okay.
I wish. I could kick his ass.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. Now, we never had Billy Mitchell on the phone, but we are getting close. And as a matter of fact, Kyle Von Kubik, who helps produce this show, did a little movie vignette called Passion of the Hot Sauce, where he actually, after watching King of Kong and being inspired by how he gets played in that movie, he actually called up Billy Mitchell and made rude remarks about his wife and different things like this. But Billy, a nice guy, called him back, and they buried the hatchet, so to speak, and totally turns it around.
Okay, so is he going to be on the show, do you think?
You know, but he's still guarded, though, you know. He's still a guarded fella, so I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, I really wish I could pull off the ties that he wears.
He does have a large collection of American flag ties, no doubt about that.
And an amazing mullet.
Well, you know, it's sort of, I don't know if that's even called a mullet, because it's sort of the Farrah and the punk
right.
Farrah or something.
You're right, actually. That's a really good description of it.
Now, nowadays, I mean, I'll get back into gaming because I like to jump around in here because I don't have very good notes. But if people want to find out about what you're up to now, they could go to angryjohnsellers.com. It's your blog. Now, does it help to be angry when you blog?
I think it's pretty much redundant to say that you're an angry blogger. But I have found that it's just a way to describe myself that is just kind of ridiculous, because most of the things I write aren't really that angry.
No.
It's just sort of, you know, like I use that to just bring people in. People who are looking for angry stuff.
Sure, sure. Imagine that, angry people on the internet. The Arcade Fever. Now, I'd love to see a prequel to this book featuring, like, more analog precursors to video games. I talked about it on this show before. I used to play a helicopter game. It was really a helicopter inside of a glass case, and you flew it around with, you had your yaw and your pitch and all that, and you flew it around with two joysticks and, like, things like that. I remember there was a machine where you could get magic tricks out of, like, a smoking monkey. Yep. And things like this. I'd love to see something like that. It probably wouldn't sell. That's the only problem. But I'd love to see it.
What would the title be for something like that? Analog Fever?
No. Yes!
How about that?
I love it!
I'm gonna let you run with that.
Okay.
That'll be the prequel.
The prequel, because I think Arcade Fever needs a prequel.
I think that's a great prequel. And then I guess the sequel would be, I mean, this goes up to it goes from 1971 to 1985. Mm-hmm. And I originally did want to do a sequel, but then once I did this one, I was just exhausted.
Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty lazy. Let me put it that way.
Well, that's understandable.
But also, like, this is like my wheelhouse years of, like, when I played games, and anything later I would have just been, you know, kind of assume, like, trying to know things about them, and I pretty much stopped playing in like 1990.
You spent a lot of time under a black light.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Well, that's honest. I enjoy that. I have two games I would like to in the prequel. I have one game for the prequel, one game for the sequel. Prequel, I would like to see the baseball game where the marble comes out of the pitcher mound and you swing the bat.
Absolutely. They had that at the airport in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Great game.
In the 70s, and I used to play that all the time. Whenever,
They tried to modernize it. They tried to put electronics in it and things like that, but it's still a good game, no matter what you do with it. And in the sequel, I'd like to see it a game where you're actually pumping a rail car, Magical Truck Adventure by Sega. You're on a railroad car. Two people must pump the handle up and down to escape from other trains coming your ways and things like this.
I have never seen that game, but that has to be one of the worst ideas I've ever seen.
It's insane, and it is crazy. Speaking of goofy games, what do you think is like the goofiest game from the era that you're used to that you played?
I'd say without a doubt, it's Journey.
The Journey game, where you're actually the band Journey trying to get away from doing anything pertinent. I don't know what they're trying to get away from.
There's a lot of groupies who are chasing you, and you just sort of have to, you know, have to get rid of them.
And like a heart, a heart with feet is chasing you or something, I think.
Yeah, it's just really surreal. And, I mean, I like Journey as much as the next guy.
Sure.
But, you know, now what that game should have done is led to more games by other bands.
Yeah.
And because I, for one, would actually have loved to have seen the Van Halen game.
Ah.
That would have been real groupies then. You know, I mean, groupies that were actually attractive. I don't know how many attractive women were really into Journey. In the 80s.
Yeah, I gotcha. I understand. I understand. In a funny story about Journey, like I mentioned before, Kyle von Kubik probably the ruined his Christmas getting Journey for the Atari 2600. Ruined it. He had no idea what was going on, and he was just so sad.
What did he want instead? You know,
I don't know, maybe Yar's Revenge, something with a little bit of substance.
A little bit better, yeah.
Yeah. And another, on a side, I think they did, Van Halen game, I think, would have been very simple. I think you just take Jungle King, and there's your David Lee Roth right there, I think.
That's hilarious. And there's four screens on that, so you could have had one of the band members do each of the screens.
And Eddie would have been, Eddie's brother. Other Van Halen, he would have been great for jumping over the witch doctor, I think. I don't know why.
Yeah. That's a good one. I like that.
Hey, John Sellers.
Hey, Stinky.
Hey, did you ever play that arcade game, Asteroids?
Once or twice.
You played in an arcade? Because I was wondering if you found my pack of cigarettes, because I left them on top of the Asteroids.
What brand? I found a few.
Lucky Strikes. Lucky Strikes.
I did find them. Yes, and it doesn't have your name, your initials. Can you describe it, please?
I think I only had like two, like one and a half left, because I had to put it out.
Totally at then.
Oh, thank goodness. Hey,
I saved them for you for 20 years.
Okay, I'm coming over.
Okay.
All right, Stinky, get out of here. What a jerk. It's probably true, though.
Another really ridiculous game, by the way, is Bubbles.
Oh, Bubbles, sure.
It's a great game, and it's funny, it's fun, and there's really great gameplay, but just the name Bubbles, I don't know, they could have done better.
And it's included in, you know, the best. I know, Midway?
It was Williams.
Williams. Okay, so yeah. it was in Williams Arcade's Finest or whatever. That was one of their finest games, Bubbles.
It is really fun, but you know, I mean, it's just crazy. The person who created that game had to have been, you know, under the influence of something.
Now, John, the reason I brought you on here is because we have both Nolan Bushnell and Ralph Baer on the same show, and I needed you to bridge the gap here because I know a couple things. I had Skeet on my Pong, and I had Hi Lye, but I needed someone to really bridge that gap. Why did you write Arcade Fever?
Well, I wrote it because these games created a great childhood for me. And
wrong, because you wrote it to bridge the gap somehow between Nolan Bushnell and Ralph Baer.
And because I wrote this because I knew that 8 years later I would be on this program to talk about it.
That is the answer we're looking for.
Got it. See, I'm a quick study.
But obviously, it was a big... what do you think about Environmental Dissatron? You feature the joystick for right on the back of the book here. It's one of my favorite games.
You know, that to me is like half... You know, like when you play on MAME or whatever, you're really missing out on a lot of why classic video games were so powerful in terms of like nostalgia and getting people to go to the arcade back then, because like it's just kind of cool to like be in front of these giant things and playing a game, and the artwork is you know beautiful in some cases, and you know you can't really get the same feel when you're playing on your computer.
No, definitely. Now, John, now around me, and probably you as well, did you grow up in Brooklyn, or you're new there, or transplant, or what?
I actually grew up in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, Michigan. Okay. Well, when I was younger, we had WPIX in New York, and it might still be there. But they had, like, Atari games. You would throw a football, or you would shoot a spaceship, and you'd say, picks, 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 picks into your phone.
Right. I've heard of that. They didn't have that in Grand Rapids, but I've definitely talked to people who played that.
But now they did have another video game related show, Starcade, I guess.
Yeah. Oh man, that show was great. Because you would see the latest games that were at your arcade, and like you weren't quite good at them yet, and so you'd watch people. But then the great thing about that show was you could watch people play the games that you were already like awesome at, mm-hmm. and they sucked. And so you could yell at the screen and say like, "Don't do that. You're stupid. How could you possibly be on the show and you're worse than I am?"
What were some of the great games?
A lot of fun to trash talk.
What were some of the great games they played? They were like Rip Off or.
I played like Zookeeper, and just these games. I know they played Burger Time once. They played Journey another time.
Did
and
anyone
the
understand
thing about that show
play?
Is that you had the chance to win arcade games for your house.
Wow!
And you could have been like Ricky Schroeder from Silver Spoons.
Again, lost on me. I, a $6 million man. if Jamie Summers had it in her house, then I might know it. But so I'll take your word for it. Silver Spoons. They had, of course, they had the arcade games. Why wouldn't they? They probably had Power Glove.
They had Pac-Man and
they
had Dragon Slayer at one point.
Hey, one final question for you. Now one great thing I really like about this Arcade Fever, and you can still find this online on Amazon and things like that. Now I guess it's not in print anymore, though, is it?
It is.
Oh, it is? Okay, good. Because I have, like, the original release.
Yeah, absolutely. It's on Amazon.
I like the
People
fact that...
People are still buying it. It's crazy.
Well, that's good. And it's a great, like I mentioned, I don't want to keep harping on the fact that it's great! But Celluloid Nightmares is a great little feature in here because I see Divine. Now, I actually touched Divine's boobs, you know, that, because I was in Hairspray, the original one, and
wow.
I was backstage the one day and in the wardrobe area, and right there were Divine's boobs hanging right on a hanger, big foam and tan in color. So, you know, I had to touch them, just so I could say that.
I love that we're talking about video games, but somehow Divine is involved with that, just because, well, I do have a photo of her.
You do?
Him, in my book, which I'm surprised that I put that in there, but,
right above Mr. T.
When you buy the book.
Yep, right above Mr. T and right across from Starcade Game Show.
Exactly.
John, it's been a delight. Thanks for bridging that gap that I could not do by myself. what current projects? Are you involved with anything big blockbuster right now?
The only thing I'm really working on is trying to beat my Robotron score.
Oh, so you are you featured on the Twin Galaxies at all? Or?
Oh, no.
It's a personal best.
My Robotron score is like 250,000.
Yeah, mine's probably like 250, so...
Yeah, exactly.
I was more of a wizard
of war. That's my current project.
I see. Now, you also did...
If you Google John Sellers, you can find me really easy. I'm actually the most, like, most Googleable John Sellers out there, and there are a lot of them.
There you go. And you also did a piece on independent bands, I guess, so that's kind of neat.
Yeah, I did. I did a book about indie rock.
And, of course, Trapdoor, my band, Cabbage A Go-Go, they're all featured in there prominently.
Oh,
maybe
absolutely.
In the sequel. Maybe in the sequel they'll be in.
So, well, I really appreciate this interview. It's been a lot of fun.
Thanks, man. Take care, John. Bye!
All right, later.
Holy crap!
3, 4. Gaming!
Portable gaming that I want to talk about on this month's episode of We Talk Games, Volume 2, Episode 5, is Gogol 13 Dick Togo. I know we have a lot of Dick Togo fans that are listeners. So, this came out for the Nintendo DS. It's Japanese only, and I just want to put out a public service announcement of all non-Japanese speaking game players. Do not buy this game. It is, number one, it is a sideways game. You hold the game sideways. I'm always a sucker for that when you hold your DS sideways to play. You write on the right side or the left side, depending on your handedness, and then you watch the thing.